Welcome to the Progressive Radio News Hour. I'm Steve Lendman. My guest today should have been, was supposed to be, was scheduled, Kevin Barrett. Just before your time, I learned that Kevin is ill. I don't think it's serious, but he's hospitalized. So, needless to say, he won't be able to come on. I must say, well, I will carry on in his stead. We'll talk about a couple of things I'm sure Kevin wanted to talk about. I must say, only one time on another program I was unable to host because I had a short-term hospitalization. There was anything but serious. It was not serious. But it kind of laid me low for a couple of days. And I remember so well when they finally decided maybe they better hold me and give me a good looking over before they release me. I asked them if I had my radio program coming up. I asked them if I could host it from my hospital room. Well, they kind of looked at me cross-eyed and thought I was nuts. And as it turned out, they were right. I would have been a terrible host that day. I certainly wasn't gravely ill, but I was in no shape to host a radio program. Anyway, that brought that memory back to me. Let me mention one thing. Got a headline about 15, 20 minutes ago. I did an interview on this, an online interview. I wrote detailed answers on this topic and ones related to it. They've already been published, and I'm doing a follow-up article based on the interview with added comments on my own. And the interview ranged around the issue of what happens when and if, and it's not an if anymore, but what happens next year when Hillary Clinton leaves and the prospect of John Kerry replacing her? Well, the New York Times bulletin came just shortly before airtime, and it said, Obama intends to nominate John Kerry. Well, it's no surprise. It looked like he was the logical choice. He certainly is a better choice. Well, everything is relative. You could say in general terms, he appearance-wise, he's a better choice than Susan Rice. I wrote about Susan Rice. I called her an absolute embarrassment to legitimate government. But I feel the same way about Hillary Clinton. And I stressed in the interview that I gave that Kerry, the only difference between Kerry and Clinton and Rice is his tone may differ. The policy is rock solid, unchanged. There will be nothing whatever changed in U.S. foreign policy. America's imperium will keep raging globally. Wars will go on permanently without end. One will lead to another. Occupations will be permanent. My goodness. Torture prisons will keep existing overseas at Guantanamo and unfortunately on mainland America. All of these things will go on. It doesn't matter whether Kerry's at state, Hillary Clinton, Susan Rice, or Minnie Mouse, or maybe Mickey. The policies are rock solid. They don't change. That's the sad reality today. There's one good piece of news, and I saw it this morning, and I drafted an article that I'll edit and finish up, and I'll get it out tomorrow. Don't get much good news too often, but this was a wonderful piece of news. What it means going forward will take some time to tell, and it certainly won't be quick, and there certainly won't be a tidal wave of follow-up events or initiatives happening as a result of this one. But yesterday, the South African ANC, the ruling government, they had a delegates convention. They discussed what was discussed earlier in October, again in November, and they voted and they decided to officially recognize the BDS boycott, the boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement against Israel. It's a powerful initiative. It's a very important one. It's won a lot of victories, small ones along the way, but they all add up. Thursday was a major victory. A country, a ruling government in a significant country. Let me remind you that South Africa is one of the BRIC countries, one of the most significant larger ones that are growing fast. Well, if they slowed down a bit in 2012, and they'll probably slow down a lot more in 2013, but Russia, China, Brazil, India, and South Africa, they're the BRIC countries, and they form a bloc. they form a bloc to some extent against Imperial America, allied with Imperial Britain and other EU countries and Israel. Hopefully their resistance will get stronger over the years ahead. Well, here South Africa did this, the ANC. There's a lot wrong with the ANC. Conditions after apartheid ended, and I wrote about this in detail, and then I repeated some of what I wrote again. This goes back several years that I wrote about it. Conditions today in South Africa are worse than they ever were economically under apartheid. I'm sure most people don't know that. But neoliberalism replaced apartheid. You know about neoliberalism. You know the harm that causes. The same thing happened in Russia after the Soviet Union dissolved. Neoliberal harshness replaced Soviet governance. And the same thing happened in South Africa. Impoverishment just went out of control, absolutely out of control. I wrote about both of them in detail. It's been a while since I did it, so a lot of the details I don't have specifically on my fingertips. But massive unemployment, deepening poverty, affecting millions of people. I remember distinctly that the Russian birth rate declined because things were so bad. I think it's still declining. South Africans were just hammered. Russians were just hammered. Many, many factories, thousands, I believe, were closed down. Corporate predators moved in. They did what they always do. They moved in, and they took over, and they slashed and burned to make a buck. Well, anyway, that's the condition in South Africa. That's the condition. That was the condition in Russia. It still very much is the case today. I hope it's getting better. In a tough global economy, it's not easy to move things around. It certainly isn't easy to move them around quickly. But I'll give the ANC credit where credit is deserved. They passed this initiative. They recognized BDS. And the language was very clear and harsh. They absolutely condemn the actions of the Israeli government, longstanding, against the Palestinian people. They mince no words. They said it the way it needs to be said. Anybody reading it will understand it clearly. It'll be up on my blog site tomorrow. I called it BDS Breakthrough. That's the title of my article. BDS Breakthrough. I think it is a breakthrough, but don't expect an avalanche to follow. Maybe eventually you get one country to do this, you break the dam. It's not easy getting countries to do something that is very, very tough to do. You go against Washington when you do something like this. I will have to wait and see, and I'll follow and monitor to see exactly what's going to happen to the ANC government in terms of policies out of Washington that may affect it. Israel can't affect South Africa, but Washington sure can. That's what needs to be watched. But they took a bold step. They need to be congratulated for it. They incentivize other countries to do the same thing. And my feeling is, at some point, it won't be quick, it won't be easy, but at some point, you're going to see another country do the same thing. And if another one does it, and maybe another one after that, that we really will break the dam. And who knows how many may follow that. That would be wonderful. Because what's been done to the Palestinian people since before 1948, but let's just take May 1948, when Israel declared its independence, it's literally been nightmarish hell for millions of Palestinians. It never ended. It got worse in June 1967, when the 22% of remaining Palestine that Palestinians had were taken over by Israel's so-called Six-Day War. The mythology around all of those things and many other events are really shocking. The truth is so different than the official line. Israel's war of independence, the official line is the ill-equipped, undermanned, undergunned, courageous, they weren't called Israelis until Israel became a state, but I'll call them that. They were the Haganah then and the Palmach. But the courageous Jewish fighters, maybe that's the way to describe them, they held off the hordes of Arabs. Hordes of Arabs? There were no hordes of Arabs. Other Arab countries didn't come in until the war was virtually over in May 1948. And when they came, They came in token, only in numbers. Jordan didn't come in at all. Israel cut a deal with Jordan to control the West Bank, to control what is now the occupied territories of the West Bank. Israel cut a deal. Jordan had Jordan come in. Oh, they might have won the war very quickly. Jordan had a powerful army compared to what Israel had. But Jordan was very happy to settle for that land. Land for non-intervention. Bribes work very well. So they didn't come in. The other countries, again, sent token forces. It was a walkover for Israeli forces. It literally was a walkover. And the result was 800,000 Palestinians either murdered or displaced. They never got to come back again. Palestinian villages and towns and so on were destroyed. Jewish ones replaced them. That followed the 1947 UN petition plan, UN Resolution 181. It was an illegal act by the UN. You know, a United Nations sanctioning rule of law passed a resolution that was absolutely illegal. With no justification whatever, they gave 53% of Palestine to Jewish residents. Well, you can't do that. Only people who live in a country, this is right in the UN Charter. Only people who live in a country to decide what will be for themselves and how they'll be ruled, by whom, in what way, what laws, etc. No outside body, including the United Nations, legally can do that, but the UN did it in 1947. Well, Palestinians refused the deal. Of course, they were berated years after that for doing it, but they should have refused it. If I was the Palestinian leader at that time, I would have refused it. Why would I agree to give 53% of my country away? I'd never agree to that. Jerusalem was made an international city under a UN protectorate. It still has that status. And that's why most countries, including America, do not have their embassies in Jerusalem. America has its embassy in Tel Aviv. One day that'll change, illegally, of course, because Jerusalem is an international city. Around 1980, Israel usurped the entire city for itself as its separate, independent capital, denying any portion of it to the Palestinians. Of course, that was an illegal act, not recognized by anybody. I mean, even America doesn't recognize that. Believe it or not, I wrote an article I haven't gotten out yet. Until the Reagan administration, let's call it 1981, U.S. administrations, at least going back to Lyndon Johnson, you get back too far before that, certainly Jack Kennedy. Jack Kennedy supported the rights of Palestinian people, and he said so. He said so. He said it more clearly than any U.S. president since, and that was one of many reasons why they killed him. He deployed Israel's nuclear arsenal. He wanted it dismantled, destroyed, gotten rid of. He said so. He forthrightly supported Palestinian rights overtly. He did it the way no other president ever did. And he did a lot of other things that got the power structure of the country mad. So they murdered him. What else do you do to a president who won't go along with the system? Well, that's another story. I think I'm sure I mentioned this program. As a senator, he was my commencement speaker in 2006, and I wrote about it. That's a side issue, but his speech was wonderful. Well, conditions in Palestine are still pretty horrible. I want to move on from that because there's so much more, and since I have a chance to speak at length, which I don't do very often, and I prefer having a guest. That's always my preference. I prefer being the host, and I prefer bringing on a wonderful guest, and hopefully nobody will get sick over the weekend, and I'll have my guest show up tomorrow and Sunday. I think this is the first time I lost a guest because of illness. A couple of other times I lost them for another reason or so. It's been a long time. No, I think I had one fairly recently, but it's unusual. It's very unusual. Illness certainly is a good reason. Illness is the only reason that a host dare not show up. But if that's the case, and unless he's at death's door, he should at least tell somebody to please run a repeat program or get somebody to sit in for him. I got a substitute host to sit in for me when I couldn't host myself, but I really wanted to do it. I hated to give up a program. That's the way I feel about it. But there's so much going on. There's so much more going on. I've been writing a lot about the fiscal cliff. I drafted another article. I've got more work to do on it, but I'll get this out tomorrow. I'll get the BDS one out tomorrow. I think it's my fourth fiscal cliff article, but I wrote about it before as well. I've written a great deal about the fiscal cliff, and if you put it all together, it's quite a bit of copy. So I drew a little bit on what I wrote before, but I updated it with what's going on now. Well, you probably saw the morning headlines. I quoted just the headline from the New York Times, the Washington Post, and the Wall Street Journal, probably the three leading U.S. Broadsheets. And basically they said, BDS, a fiscal cliff deal falls apart. Malarkey, nothing fell apart. Meaningless hype, meaningless fear-mongering. The deal was cut months ago. Only the details need to be worked out. All of the hype and fear-mongering and the rest of it is to make headlines and get people and keep the party faithful in mind. So Speaker Boehner scheduled a House vote, and he had to cancel it because, in his words, more or less, the hardliners weren't on board, so we didn't have enough votes. The hardliners are always on board when the speakers say you do it or else. The deal is that you want to look tough, because if you don't look tough, it looks like you're capitulating too easily. That's the game. The so-called fiscal cliff, December 31/January 1, it's fake. There is no fiscal cliff. Fiscal cliff refers to the expiring tax breaks and unemployment benefits. Basically, that's what it is in a nutshell. Well, it's very easy to handle that anyway at all. And there wouldn't be any need to address deficits that are growing exponentially if serious deficit cutting were undertaken. But that is absolutely off the table. There's such obvious things to do to right the country, to right the economy, to return it to prosperous growth, but nobody even talks about those things. They talk about fiscal cliff malarkey. It's baloney. It doesn't exist. The only deadline that matters, there is a deadline that matters. It's not end of year. It's March 27th, 2013. Why? Because that's when the debt ceiling is hit. Only Congress can authorize government spending. Nobody else. No authorization, no spending. Congress ended the Vietnam War when they cut off the faucet. They stopped authorizing funds to wage war. I think they left enough in to get the forces back home. Took a little while, but they got them out. But they shut the faucet. Funds didn't flow. The war ended. So if funds don't flow, there's no government. Government shuts down. That's the deadline, March 27th. So something has to be done, finalized, agreed on, by that date or earlier. I expected a lot before that date. You know the game they play. There'll probably be something around year end or maybe right after New Year's. And they'll announce something, whether it's meaningful or not, doesn't matter. And then there'll be a continuing resolution. You know, when they can't agree on budgets, which is more times than not, they do something to kind of get over the hurdle, and they pass a continuing resolution to come back and visit it as of such and such a date. That's what I expect to see happen. But all this hype and fear-mongering and the rest of it about fiscal cliff and so on, it's all meaningless hype. It's a big lie. Well, I have written about it four times now. And if more information comes out that I think is important, I'll write about it again. What's really important is what's going on. That's the key. The key is that instead of legislating responsible government, the plan, it's long-standing, it's been going on incrementally for several decades. It really got into high gear after the 2007 crisis broke in fall 2007, especially in 2008, and it's been going in high gear ever since. The name of the game is destroying America's social contract. That's as simply and succinctly and as accurately as I can state it. And the key programs are the ones that are targeted most. You know them. Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, public pensions, and it goes on. Education, food stamps, everything. The plan is death by a thousand cuts. You know that game, too. You do a little and a little more and a little more and a little more over enough time, it's like boiling a frog. The frog doesn't know it's cooked until it's on the table being served. That's the dirty game. And the hype is that we have a deficit crisis, and we need to fix it. And Obama talks about shared sacrifice. He doesn't say who she is and who sacrifices. Well, I just told you. The other part of the game is to be sure that corporate America is well taken care of. America's super-rich elites barely get scathed. For the little nick they'll get, there'll be a hike in the top tax rate. It'll probably be a compromise. Right now it's 35%. I don't think too many of the super-rich pay that. But nominally, that's what the rate is. And that's the nominal rate for corporations, 35%. The average rate in the last 2 years is roughly about a third of that amount. Many profitable corporations pay little or nothing, and some of them get rebates. So much for the official rates. But the deal was already cut with corporations to cut the official rate from 35 to 28%. That's baked in the cake. It'll happen. Probably not at year end. Probably not in January. Maybe it'll come mid-year. But it's baked in the cake, and Obama had to throw a very big crumb. It's not a crumb; it's a big handout because if 35% gets their actual rate down to about 12.5, then 28% will probably get it down to about 8.5. So the taxes they pay will go down. The rebates profitable companies get will be higher. The same dirty game goes on. And what will happen to ordinary people? They want to cap mortgage deductions. They want to cap medical cost deductions. They want to do all kinds of things that will harm middle America and America's most disadvantaged the most. So ordinary people will really be hammered by the deal they're going to cut. Corporate America will come out of this smooth sailing. Obama needed corporations on his side to get Republican support. Well, of course they're on his side. He's given them everything they want. So they absolutely support them. And what corporate America wants, Congress wants, all administrations go along with. There's no disagreement. If these guys want to get their generous campaign promise contributions, they damn well better go along with what their corporate bosses tell them they want. So all this hyperventilating about Bonner couldn't get the hardliners online, he was a liar. He was a liar. You expect the media scoundrels to tell you that? Well, you just heard it here. And you expect the media scoundrels to tell you what this dirty game is all about? They want to make sure there's enough money to keep fighting global wars. They want to make sure there's plenty for corporate America. They want to take care of America's super rich. They want to let poor people in middle America pay the price. They want to destroy middle America. That's what this dirty game is. And they're going to win. They're going to win. Unless enough ordinary people understand the dirty game and they say, we're not going to put up with it. And I have a line in my draft that I'm working on. I say Americans now have a choice. We literally have a choice, three choices. We can either suffer. I'm talking about most of us, the ordinary people. We can either suffer. We can leave. Not too many places to go, but we can leave. There are better ones in here. We can leave. Or we can revolt. We can revolt. Well, that's my choice. I don't believe in doing it violently. All that does is beget more violence. But if people don't stand up for their rights, they're going to lose them all. We are losing them all. I've written in detail about all the police state laws in the books. I'm writing more about there was a very weak, meaningless provision that the Feinstein Amendment in the 2013 National Defense Authorization Act, an amendment. The act, I think, is still being discussed. An amendment to get rid of indefinite detentions. Well, the amendment didn't amount to a hill of beans, but the amendment was pulled, and I'm writing about it. I've got two other articles I want to get out tomorrow. I'll probably delay this article, but I'm writing about it anyway. And I went back and I reviewed what happened last year, and I went back and I reviewed before that, because in 2011, I wonder how many listeners remember, that Obama authorized indefinite detentions. He did it mainly against non-U.S. citizens, but the original Military Commissions Act that George Bush passed, signed, I'll never forget the date, October 17, 2006, it targeted U.S. citizens in military commissions, you know, trial or no trial, torture and the rest of it, U.S. citizens as well as anybody else. That law is still on the books. So Obama had an executive order in 2011, authorized indefinite detentions, continued the military commissions. New Year's Eve last year, he signed the National Defense Authorization Act with two provisions to indefinitely detain U.S. citizens, let the military arrest them, lock them up in military prisons, hold them here indefinitely uncharged, tried or not tried. He claimed that he didn't want this. He claimed he would veto the bill if this provision was in it. Senator Carl Levin, made sure the provision was not in it. Obama said, I will not sign it privately. He said, I will not sign this bill unless you put these provisions back in. Levin actually said so publicly, and I quoted him. The provisions went back in. Obama signed it New Year's Eve when he thought nobody would be watching. Well, I sure was watching, and I wrote about it. It's in my new book, Banker Occupation, Waging Financial War Against Humanity. It's just out. Information on my blog site, Steve Lenman blog. I've got a chapter in it called Legislating Tyranny in America. It's important because it's part of the financial war on America. Well, now they're going to reinstitutionalize it in the 2013 NDAA. That's what's coming up. So it's already U.S. law. It violates constitutional law. Amazing. A law passes in Congress that violates constitutional law? That's right. It violates international law. Very ugly situation going on. It's why I say and I mean that increasingly America is becoming unfit to live on. I was told a number of years ago that everything I do, my writing, my media work, interviews, hosting, everything is closely monitored. Because the people I call dark forces in America don't like what I do and what other people like me do as well. They don't like that. You know, they want to nominally make it look like America's a democracy. America never was a democracy. The founders absolutely deplored democracy. I've written about that in detail. Too late. Program's almost over. I can't go into it now. If I ever get a chance at a future program because another guest is sick, I'll talk about it. But I can assure you the founders wanted nothing to do with democracy, and they made sure in the Constitution they drafted that it didn't exist. To this day, it doesn't exist. You know, nominally. And the ugliness of America comes wrapped in an American flag. What else? What else? Oh, we are just about at the end of the program. I'll sign off, and I'll just remind listeners to join us every Friday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time. We're on weekends, 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Got two wonderful guests this weekend. We'll always discuss major issues, major world ones, major national ones. I'm dedicated to having this program be a truth hour. I'm independent. Nobody pays me. Nobody tells me what to do. I've got no axe to grind, except I kind of like freedom. I kind of like the idea of it being protected. And I certainly believe in telling the truth. Pass the word. Do join us. Make it a regular habit, of course.